Good morning. Welcome to Brahm Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Imagine that you're a sports fan. The championship game of your favorite team is coming up, and quite desperately, you want to go to the game. This happened recently for me. I'm a Chicago Blackhawks hockey fan, and they went home for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals in Chicago, and I desperately wanted to be there. The problem caused by your desire, though, to go to your favorite team's game probably is the same problem that I have. I didn't have a ticket, but you desperately want to go to the game. So you think your best bet is to show up in front of the stadium and to hope for the best. Now, at every major sporting event, there are scalpers in front of the stadium hawking overpriced tickets. A scalper is a person who makes a profit through buying and selling tickets. And as they hawk their wares, they say, "Hey, who needs a ticket?" You do, so you approach one of them. The price they're asking is ridiculous, of course, but you're desperate. You have the money, so you buy the ticket and you head for the gate. Now, when you get to the gate, you offer the ticket. It's scanned, and the usher at the gate says, "I hate to tell you this, but this is a ticket for the game last Tuesday night. This is not a ticket for tonight's game. Did you buy this ticket from a scalper?" You acknowledge that you did, and the usher says, "Well, it's too bad because this ticket is counterfeit." You rush back to the spot where you bought the ticket, and of course the person who conned you is nowhere to be found. Another man comes up to you. He sees the desperate, angry, and anxious look on your face and inquires as to the source of your consternation. "What's wrong?" he asks, and you tell him. "I bought this ticket from a scalper and it was a counterfeit." "It's too bad," the man says. "It happens out here all the time." He continues, "I can't fix that problem, but I do have a ticket that you can have." Suspiciously, I ask, "How much?" He says, "No charge, I just want you to have it." I tell the man, "You know, that seems a little bit too good to be true." And the man said, "Well, come with me, let's go up to the gate. You'll be sitting next to me." The man presents the tickets, and you both enter the stadium. And you are in a state of disbelief. So you say to him, "I want to pay for the ticket, you're so kind." And the man says, "No need. Have you ever heard of grace?" And you say, "I have." So the man says, "Well, this ticket's on me, in grace." This is the same situation that all creatures encounter when they come to planet Earth. We are all born condemned under a verdict of guilty and set for the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22a says, "For just as all those in Adam are set to die the second death." You see, if we purchase a counterfeit salvation, if we believe a false gospel, we will not gain admission to heaven, just like that guy didn't gain admission to the stadium with the counterfeit ticket. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead." There is always a cost for the false gospel. And the false gospel is never a gospel of grace. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says, "If salvation is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of your works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." When you have to pay for salvation, when you have to earn your salvation, then salvation is not free. Welcome to a place where you can be saved, where you can get into the game without charge. The opening song for today's lesson, "Give Me Your Eyes" by Brandon Heath.
Down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights, my world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop,
breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street, see a girl and our eyes meet. Does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere. Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 I've been here a million times, a couple of million eyes, just moving past me by. I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life, the resurrection life, through faith alone and the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And thank you for sending your Son to purchase our so great salvation with his blood at the cross. And thank you for giving us the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, to lead us into all the truth. Deliver unbelievers from the lake of fire. Deliver your believers to a life of peace by helping us to understand that you have nothing against us and that you are only for us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, salvation is the opposite of condemnation. Salvation is the opposite of condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, the summary of everything at the ending of Romans 7. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of the resurrection life, in union with Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. No condemnation. For the believer in Christ, the opposite of no condemnation is self-condemnation. When we're believers and we know that God doesn't condemn us, we love condemning ourselves. The flesh in us loves opening its nasty throat and spewing forth the venom of sin and death, which is condemnation. For the unbeliever, the opposite of no condemnation is salvation. In today's lesson, we'll investigate exactly what no condemnation means. But first, we'll take the offering. In a moment, we're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall. And we want you to know that we appreciate your gifts. Because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. There is no greater expression of the unconditional love of God than giving. Here's what Paul has to say to the believers in Christ at Corinth regarding giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "Now this I, Paul, say, that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." In other words, be generous. The more seeds that are sown, the bigger the harvest. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. "Each one of us must do then just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a joyfully willing giver." God loves an attitude in you that wants to give, not an attitude in you that thinks you have to give. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." When you give, God gives back to you an abundance, so that you have everything you need for every good deed. So if you're benefiting from this teaching, you can show your appreciation through your gift. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. We are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide that allows you to worship God. We choose not to exercise that right. No price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We need and appreciate your financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And last week, Pastor brought up dichotomy, the fact that our lives are filled with choices on a daily basis. And it made me think of the time I went off to college and my gracious mother was helping me set up my apartment, or actually my dorm room at the time, and we went shopping. And she reminded me at the grocery store that you're never wrong by purchasing food for yourself, because she knew I wasn't going to be purchasing that much food for myself. And it makes a great point, because it's just like when Pastor steps up behind the podium. He's never wrong by putting himself here. That's the perfect choice he can always make, and that's the same with you. When you're here, it's the best choice. You can never doubt yourself by being here. In the same way, you can never doubt yourself by giving money to this ministry. And I was thinking about how, you know, if you add up every sandwich, they've been getting me breakfast sandwiches to eat during the mornings, and if I added all of those up, there'd probably be 50 sandwiches stacked up high. And that's just every Sunday. Now, if you think of the things you spend money on every day, and you stack that up over a whole year's worth, you know, that's going to add up very quickly. There's going to be a lot of things. I looked in our recycle bin, and I was thinking, wow, we drink a lot of bottled water. The whole thing was filled with bottled water, and that adds up. And you think, if you just give, you know, $5 a week, that's going to add up to $250 a year. And if everybody were to do that, we would have that $1 million we would need easily. And it made me think of choices, makes me think of the most important choice we can make in life, whether or not we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it made me think of Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who will find it." So as you give, remember that there aren't that many people that are giving. And there are so many things to give to distract you from giving to the church. There's a broad range of exciting things to buy that aren't just donating to a church. So remember that we have a few people giving, and we need every bit of your help and we need your friends' help and your coworkers' help. So remind them that this is an important choice in their life, whether or not they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for your constant support of this ministry.
Today's study, salvation is the opposite of condemnation. Salvation is the opposite of condemnation. And I want to thank you, for, as usual, for the great offering message, Deacon Denny. But today your message caused me a little bit of embarrassment, you know, especially when you talked about the bottled water, because I think that the guilty party filling up that garbage can is my wife. I will tell you that she is the thirstiest person that I have ever been in a relationship with, bar none. I think we spend $500 a month on bottled water. And if you take one out and you leave a blank space, you know, she comes out from under the refrigerator and puts another one in. So it very well could be her. We need to be watching her. And what I'm thinking is you might be right. I think maybe if we stop having bottled water here at Broad Ministries and just take that money and put it in the offering, we might have that church in about 3 weeks at the rate she drinks bottled water. So, God. All right, so Romans chapter 8. You think I'm kidding, right? You think I'm just being funny and telling, I'm not. She drinks a lot of water. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the Greek word for condemnation is katakrima, katakrima. And what it means is an unfavorable verdict. So if you are condemned, you are under an unfavorable verdict. Unfavorable to whom? Unfavorable to you. And when you were born, you were born under an unfavorable verdict called you're in Adam. And so you were condemned from birth to the lake of fire. So when Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus, it is saying that there is no longer an unfavorable verdict. Not ever. The no is a variation of the Greek word ouk, which is the strongest negative in the Greek language. Nope, not never, not no way, not no how, as the Wizard of Oz would say it. So, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus, is saying that there's no longer an unfavorable verdict, not ever, not even possible, not no way, not no how, for those in union with Christ Jesus. And who is in union with Christ Jesus? Believers in Christ. So if you, at any moment in time in your life, have become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment you were placed into union with Christ, and you cannot get out of that union. So if you continue the analogy that we started at the beginning of the lesson, once we accept the free ticket to get into the stadium, we go into the stadium of salvation, and the doors lock behind us, and there is no way to get out. Because just as when you go into a stadium, you're in union with that stadium, when you're placed into union with Christ by the baptism of God the Holy Spirit, you're placed in that place by not by yourself, not by anything meritorious in you, not by anything you did, but by an immutable God who never changes. He puts you in that place, and you cannot get out. Now, if you really think about that, you know, and you want to be a little huffy about it, your flesh is probably saying, well, that's unfair. That's unfair. We should be able to make our own choices. That's what the flesh would say in that circumstance. But what God says is there's going to be a breach in this relationship in the beginning. And when they decide that they want a relationship with me, I'm never letting them go. And I wonder, those of you who are married, I wonder if that's what you meant when you said for better or for worse. Did you mean not no way, not no how this union will ever be over? Or is it that there is something that the other person can do that you never bothered to tell them about that would cause you to break the union? Because that's what most people do. Most people's word is not worth the paper it's printed on or the sounds that come out of their mouth. They say, I want X, and they don't mean it. Why? Because they don't have any integrity. They don't say it and then do it. They say it, but they say it lightly. Oh, I just said that because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. No, you said that because you were a jerk. Because if you're going to do something, you should say it and then do it. Or else don't say it. You don't have to say it. Or you can say, no, I'm not doing that. You do have that option. But that's not how God works. So God says, you believe in me, I'm going to place you into union with Christ, and you can't get out. Religion comes along and says, yeah, I don't know about that. You can't get out, but if you commit a mortal sin and die with that mortal sin on your soul, and a priest doesn't come up out of the sewer after you've been run over by a truck and give you extreme unction, then you die with a mortal sin on your soul. Well, then you get to go to purgatory. And then in purgatory, your relatives who didn't like you in the first place can pay to pray for you while you're dead in a novena of masses. And then when they do enough of those, then you can go, maybe you can get into heaven, but probably not. Does that sound anything like God? That's not God. And how long did we sit there as religious people believing that crap? Paying for it. How long? Long time. And some of us are still carrying around the remnants of that religious crap in ourselves. So, you know, I love when religious people come here to visit. And you can always tell when the religious people come here to visit Barah Ministries because they get the Bible out and they got the look on their face. You know, don't make me look. I'm comparing everything you say to what's in here. Put that Bible down. You don't even know what's in there. You never cracked it open more than twice. You just believed a bunch of lies that people were saying, and you think you adopted it as your truth, and now you think that's the truth, whether you checked it against that or not. You need to check what you think against that, not what I think against it. And they'll always point off. And that's kind of the way we live Christianity. We're waiting for the person who's teaching to make a mistake. Oh, that's not exactly the right verse. Our magnificent God locks the door behind us when we're placed into union with Christ, and there's no way to get out. So the only evaluation of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be a single word: saved. Saved. That's the word that you want attached to your name as a believer in Christ. Saved. For the unregenerate, which means for the spiritually dead unbeliever, the condemnation occurs at the great white throne judgment. The unbeliever is given a whole life to believe in Christ. Lots of years. Average man dies at 72, average woman at 77. That's a long time. 77 times 365 days. 72 times 365 days. To make a decision for or against Christ, preferably for. But if you go that whole period and then you stop breathing and you have not made a decision for Christ, you've made a decision against Christ, and you go to what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, and here's what it says. You will meet Jesus Christ face to face. All of us one day will meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Revelation 20, 11 says this. Hang on. Starting to get this down, Denny. Then I, and I is John, the writer of the book of Revelation, saw a great white throne and the Lord Jesus Christ who sat upon it, from whose presence unbelievers on the earth and in heaven fled away, and no place was found for them to live. This is right after the destruction of the earth and the universe as we know it, and the unbeliever has no place to live because the earth has been destroyed. And so they are convened in front of the great white throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to create some place for them to live. Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead unbelievers, the great, famous people, and the small, not so famous people, standing before the great white throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life is a record of all those who are saved. When you're born, your name is printed into the book of life. If you die without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, your name is erased from the book of life. So when that book of life goes to the great white throne, and they look you up, you aren't there. So I saw the dead unbelievers, the great famous people, the small not so famous people standing before the great white throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, a record of all those who are saved. And the dead unbelievers were judged from the things which were written in the book. What was written in the book? A blank page where your name should be. And they were judged according to their deeds. And all of the unbeliever's deeds add up to ungodliness and unrighteousness, a rejection of God's person and a rejection of doing anything that God suggests. Not sins. Sins not an issue. Revelation 20:13, and the sea gave up the dead unbelievers which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead unbelievers which were in them, and the unbelievers were judged, every one of them according to their deeds, the deeds of ungodliness and unrighteousness. And by the way, that comes from having Adam's sin, not your sins. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. The first death is spiritual death. From spiritual death to the second death, the lake of fire. Revelation 20:15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life at the great white throne judgment, he was thrown into the lake of fire. For the unbeliever who rejects a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the evaluation is condemned. an unfavorable verdict. For regenerate believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who are regenerate are those who are born again, spiritually alive because of the spiritual birth. The spiritual birth being God the Holy Spirit placing you into union with Christ. The evaluation is made at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is bema, so it's called the bema seat judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. That might not be right. It might be verse 10. Can somebody look that up and see what I got? Because I wrote verse 20, but I think it's verse 10. It says, we believers in Christ must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one of us may be recompensed. That means compensated for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, that sounds like a little bit like the Santa Claus song, doesn't it? What is it, Susie? It's 10? So it's the 2 Corinthians 5:10. So that sounds a little bit like the Santa Claus song. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'll tell you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows if you've been naughty or nice. You know that song? But that's not what this means. Good or bad means what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which is we believers in Christ, are God the Father's workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus for good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand in eternity past so that we would walk in them. See, in omniscience, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father knew that we would believe in Christ. Therefore, we were going to be the elect. And he created a series of works that he wanted us to do from our position as a believer in Christ. And he put them in place for us beforehand so that we would do them. And so one of those things for me was become a pastor. One of those things for me is to teach this lesson today. This was put in place in eternity past for your benefit. So that's what it means, good or bad. If we do the things that God has ordained for us to do, that's good. And if we don't, if we do the deeds of the flesh, that's bad. And they will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. But the rest of the judgment seat of Christ is rewards. Good deeds are the deeds that we do, that God planned for us to do. And the evaluation for us, saved. A favorable verdict. Condemned, an unfavorable verdict. Saved, a favorable verdict that includes reward. So for the believer in Christ, no condemnation means peace. That means that the sovereign God of the universe has nothing against you. Let's take a short music break, and then we'll learn more about no condemnation.
My strength is in you, Lord. My
There we go. Today's study, salvation is the opposite of condemnation. So I have a question for you. All right, so therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. There's a verse. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. So is it accurate for a believer in Christ to say, I really believe that God's going to punish me for that? Is it accurate for a believer in Christ to say that? Well, if it is accurate for the believer in Christ to say that, then God's lying here. Because no condemnation doesn't just mean when I feel like it in God's plan. No condemnation means, that's why he used ook, no way, not no how, not never, no way. So you would, as a believer in Christ, never think God is punishing me. I hear believers in Christ all the time talking about, I think God's testing me. I think God's testing me. For what purpose would God be testing you? What, is he not omniscient? He's omniscient. He knows all the knowable. You think he doesn't know your status, so he has to test you to find out where you are? No, he gives you trials. Trials are education. He gives you discipline, which is what? Training you in a character pattern. But God is not that God who's got his foot over your head waiting for you to make a mistake so he can come down on you and step on your head. Yet that's the picture that Satan and religion have painted of God, and we readily adopt it because it's much easier to adopt that than to actually think, hey, God's on your side. Yeah, well, see, Pastor Roy, I know you said that we have God's peace. And I know you described that peace from Scripture as a peace that surpasses all comprehension. But see, what had happened is I believe that God is punishing me and that he's waiting to come down on me. Okay, well, that makes total sense. Let's believe what you believe and let's forget about what the Bible has to say. No condemnation means that you are involved in a great divine purpose. And that means that you matter. No condemnation means that you are saved, not condemned. No condemnation means that you're going to heaven. It means that Larry, when he went into surgery on Tuesday, knew that there were only going to be two possible outcomes, both of them good. He was going to wake up in the recovery room, or he was going to wake up face to face with the Lord. Both of those are amazing, and one of them's more amazing. I know which one I would have picked. Because there's no mortgages in heaven, amen? In my Father's house are many mansions, and I ain't hear nothing about a mortgage. So I know where I'd rather be. And this no condemnation is not a result of the fact that you don't, there's nothing meritorious in you that is the reason why God gave you no condemnation. So please don't think of yourself as special. No condemnation means you are the elect. That's what believers in Christ are called and have been called from the beginning of eternity. Anyone who believes in Christ when creatures are created will be called the elect. There are elect angels, there are fallen angels. There are elect believers in Christ, and there are unbelievers. We are the elect. And as the elect, you have all the privileges of the elect, like prayer. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8 says this. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, his technical students, a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and that they should never, not ever lose heart. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not respect God. He was an unbeliever and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to the judge saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Luke 18:4, for while the judge was unwilling to give her legal protection from her opponent, but afterward the judge said to himself, even though I do not fear God or respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Women have been doing this for a really long time. Amen? Come on, guys, don't be lily-livered. Amen? Give me an amen. Crickets. Ain't no crickets coming from up here. Luke chapter 18, verse 6. The Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said." Unrighteous meaning an unbeliever. "Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him in prayer day and night? And will he delay long over them?" So in other words, if you irritate God the way that woman irritated the judge, if an unrighteous person is going to give her protection because she's irritating, what do you think God's going to do for you? That's what's being said here. "Go boldly before the throne of grace so that you might obtain help in times of trouble." He is a very present help in times of trouble. He likes hearing your voice. It's not irritating to him when you are praying. And you should go before him all times in prayer and never lose heart. What is that called in essence? Dependence. Because prayer indicates that we have a dependence on God. When we make a request of somebody, we're depending on them. Luke 18:8, "I tell you that God is willing to bring about justice for his believers quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Great question. No condemnation means that you have the resurrection life, the eternal life, the Zoe life. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," truly, truly means this is a contentious spiritual, biblical point. People will attack this point all the time. Don't let them. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word," and this is Jesus Christ talking, "and believes in God the Father who sent me, has the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life." Faith alone, in Christ alone, is the ticket to eternal life, "and does not come into judgment," no condemnation, "but has passed out of spiritual death into the resurrection life." No condemnation means that you are righteous. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, as if you were an unbeliever, but present yourselves, believers in Christ, to God the Father as if you are those alive from the dead, because you are, and present your members as instruments of righteousness to God." That's what we are to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "God the Father made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be the sin substitute on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God the Father because of our union with him." You are righteous. No condemnation means you are justified. Romans chapter 3, verse 28, "God the Father goes through the halls of heaven announcing your name as a believer in Christ." Romans 3, 28, "We maintain that a man is justified by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, apart from works of the law," apart from the works of the Mosaic law. Romans chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 say, "What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, Jehovah Elohim, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate state, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abraham is a regenerate Jew. He is a spiritually alive Jew who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for his salvation. Romans 4:4. "Now to the one who works for salvation," the legalist, the religious person, "his wage," his payment, "is not credited as a favor from grace, but it is credited as what is due." So the unbeliever is saying, "Hey, I don't want Jesus Christ's work for me at the cross. What I want is I want to work for myself, and I want my work to stand as good enough to get me into heaven." It'll never work out. Your work is not good enough. No condemnation means that you are at peace with God. Romans chapter 5, Verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith in the past, at the moment of your salvation, we believers in Christ right now have peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have peace with God? It means that God has nothing against you. There's no barrier between you and God. God is for you, so who can be against you? God is on your side. The sovereign of the universe is on your side. No condemnation means you are resident within the sphere of grace. You have a geodesic dome of grace surrounding you. And in that dome is grace, forgiveness, unconditional love. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, through whom we, believers in Christ, have obtained our direct access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult, we're ecstatic, in the future hope, that is the future absolute confidence of the glory of God by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit will glorify us by giving us a resurrection body and conforming us to the image of God the Son. No condemnation means you will never, under any circumstance, encounter God the Father's wrath because God the Son paid for your wrath. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God the Father is revealed, negating self-righteousness, from faith in the Lord for salvation to faith in the Lord for all things, as it is written, but the one who wants to be a righteous man shall live by faith, by placing his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men, unbelievers, who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness. Suppressing the truth of the gospel is rejecting the truth of the gospel. And the truth of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ is your only way to salvation. No condemnation means you are beloved. It means you are divinely loved one. It means that you are a saint. Romans chapter 1, verse 7 says, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation means you can never be separated from God as a believer in Christ under any circumstances. John chapter 10, verse 28, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. The doctrine of eternal security. No condemnation means your salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not confused or confusing. So when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Acts 16, 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. John 3, 36 says, he who believes in the Son has the Zoe life, eternal life, the resurrection life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Closing song, His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I discouraged, and why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I am free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. I know.
Couldn't really decide what note you were going to pick on that last one. Holy hell. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for freeing us from condemnation. Thank you for freeing us from wrath. Thank you for freeing us from punishment. Thank you for not hovering a foot above our head waiting to come down on us. But thank you for instead giving us grace, giving us forgiveness, and giving us unconditional love. And help us to enjoy the sphere in which we live, the sphere of grace. Help us to be a reflection of you in everything that we do. And help us to develop the mindset that is set on the Spirit and not on the deeds of the flesh. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.